Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to episode 16 of Cravisation. I hope everybody has been enjoying the wonderful weather that we've been having here in the UK. Maybe not elsewhere, but we, for once, have had glorious, glorious, hot days. And that does tie in with my guest, I promise. I'm not just going on about it because I'm British. Or maybe I am, really. Well, my guest this week, guys, is my American equivalent. She's my girl. We have had many, many drunk conversations, which led to me thinking she would be bloody, bloody good on my podcast because she has such a fucking interesting life story. Honestly, you are not ready for half the things it's coming up. She comes out with. Good God. Oh, it's going to be glorious. Oh, I'm so excited. So, as I promised, in relation to the weather, please welcome this week's guest, Miss Sunny Holiday, my girl. Now, this is quite a long episode, so stick with us, guys. It was recorded over Skype, so it's a little fuzzy, but she's several thousand miles across the Atlantic, so I think you can let me off, please. Now, as I always say at the end of this little intro, if you want to find me online, you can find me at Cats and Crows, KatasAndCrows. And if you're listening on Acast today, thank you so very much. You can find out lots of lovely information with the cards that I put up. Just educate yourself some more. There's so much to learn. However, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please do me a favor. Please leave me a lovely 5-star review and a little written review as well, if you're feeling up to it. If not, that's okay. 5 stars is so appreciated. But if you can leave me a review, all it does is help make the podcast more visible, help more people discover Cravisation, and spread the good word, really. Spread that girl power. Spread it all over the world, all over your face. All right, then, guys, I will leave you now to listen to this gloriously, glorious, warming episode from my good friend, Sunny Holiday, on Cravisation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world. Not represented in the media. Not treated equally online. And still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Cravisation.
Hey, beautiful humans. So, today on Cravisation, I have a wonderful lady who I've been wanting to speak to for so long. She is my American counterpart. You've definitely seen her on stage here with me in the UK. And if you haven't, you're absolutely fucking up because this woman is my favorite. She makes me laugh. She outdrinks me. She's killer. She is Sunny Holiday.
Hi, Dios mío.
Hi. Hey, Sunny. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I miss you and I miss Sunny LA.
Yes, sunny LA misses you very, very much.
Ooh, so you've only just come off tour, right? How's it been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple weeks, I guess. It feels longer in some ways. It's so crazy how time kind of stops a little bit when you're not on the road.
Yeah, it's bizarre. How long was the tour this time? It was crazy long.
It was 3 months, which is pretty much the usual. But I was lucky where I got to jump around a little bit. So it actually felt like a few little short tours for me, which was really nice.
Yeah.
It was
you came to see me in London.
Yeah, that was great. That was like my favorite part about the whole 3 months was getting to do the week with you guys and, you know, going over there and just having a bunch of babes run that week. That was really fun. I loved it.
It was crazy there, right? The house?
Oh my God, it was so fun.
Is London your favorite place in the whole world? Say yes.
Yes. I mean, you know what? You know why though? Because it's like the perfect counterpart, which is why I love our friendship to New York.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
We really fit in, like, in either city, so it's just perfect.
I agree. I love New York. I've got to come visit you for some time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We definitely need to spend more time there. But whenever anybody asks me, it's a hard question to answer because after traveling everywhere, I'm still such a, like, proud New Yorker and I love New York. But I also know that that's because my people are there, you know, like, I think that's normal. And the cultural things that I'm used to are there and make me feel at home. But when people ask me like what my favorite city is when I travel, I definitely say London.
Yay. I say the same. So I say New York, of course. I love LA and I've been there the most, but New York, I feel like you say, I fit in better.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So you were born in the state of New York, weren't you? You've been like a New Yorker your whole life.
Yep. Born and raised in New York City.
Amazing. So Sunny, basically usually on Crivestation, I take people through a subject that is close to their heart or something that's quite current politically or socially, but in your case you're so fucking interesting and you've had such a wild life that I've heard about over many drinks that I just want to go through your life.
that'll be super fun.
You say that like, oh God.
I'm like
So let's start at the beginning. You were born, where were you born?
Well, I was born in Washington Heights, which is way uptown in New York. Mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel wrote a musical about it. It's called In the Heights. Check it out.
Amazing.
actually, it's kind of cool. He kind of put us on the map in that sense. But In the Heights is essentially like a neighborhood where a lot of people from the Caribbean immigrated to. So my family immigrated to Washington Heights, actually, from the Dominican Republic. And I actually immediately kind of went to the Dominican Republic after that. So I started school in DR. Uh-huh. And Spanish was my first language. I didn't speak fully in English really until I was probably like 7 or 8.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was my, yeah, definitely. Spanish was first, which is funny because now it's, so I feel terrible because it feels like a little bit more lost now. I'm definitely still fluent in Spanish, but I wish I used it every day.
Oh, I think Spanish is a beautiful language. You're going to have to teach me.
I see. Anytime you want, mommy.
So you went back to the Dominican Republic and you had school there.
Yeah, and then I came back to... My life is crazy, dude. So...
It really is, and that's why you're here, baby.
Actually, I feel like I haven't even told you all my things, but it's crazy. So my dad was a... My biological father screwed up big time. He was... super smart, entrepreneur, business guy, incredibly intelligent. And he was a few years older than my mother. My mom had me when she was 17. So wow. During this time in the late 80s, there was a big, it was just, New York City was a super drug infested place. It was just super, like crime was at its highest. And my dad was basically like a Al Pacino of like Brooklyn.
Wow.
There's actually a documentary about him. It's called The 7-5 and it goes
five.
And they're
wow.
trying to make a movie like about, you know, how there was such a corrupt system and he was working with a lot of cops. Like his people were dressed in like New York City police uniforms, like running the drug scene in New York. So when I was little, my dad got, like everything blew up. So we went from having this huge mansion in the Dominican Republic to having absolutely nothing. And just, you know, we were at our poorest. We didn't have anywhere to go really. My mom left me in the Dominican Republic with my family after my dad told her from one day to the next, like, pack up everything you own and just get out of there.
Wow.
Luckily, he kept her in the dark a lot of time. My mom didn't really know everything that was going on.
For the best, yeah.
She was young and she liked being in the dark about it, but she was also really smart. And after that, she just basically risked her whole life for me after that. She went to the States. She went to a bunch of court dates. She got work. And then she brought me back. And then I started school again in the States. So then we started a whole new life. And my true father is she started seeing this New York City detective. Complete opposite.
Wow. Awesome. Total opposite.
So my stepdad pretty essentially brought me up, and that was about around 7 or 8, and that's when I started speaking English more, like, on a daily basis. And then from there we moved. I think I did Catholic school for a couple years in the Bronx. So, you know, when people ask me if I'm a real Yankee fan, which I get that every day, because I wear my Yankee cap.
Yeah, you always do. That's like your thing.
I'm like, yes, I am. I lived by the stadium.
You really are a New Yorker girl.
Yeah. So it's a crazy, we led a crazy life, but we ran away from all the craziness. And, you know, my parents moved me slightly upstate to Middletown, New York. That's where I finished, like, my school and all that jazz. And then I applied for schools and I got accepted to schools in New York City and in Albany. And I took a big scholarship that brought me to study what I love to do, which was all I wanted to do was perform. So I begged them to take me out of Catholic school that had terrible, like, performance programs.
Yeah. Religious, not the one.
I was like, this is fun. I was like, girls, I hate to say that, but I remember being terrified, like, in the eighth grade, because I was like, I cannot go to a Catholic high school. All I've heard about the high school near us was the girls were really easy. And I think it was a terrible rumor. And I'm sure completely, like, you know, the women probably felt completely victimized by it. But at the same time, like, it was just a place where I didn't even want to get, like, cross that boundary. I wanted to go. So I went to, like, a more public high school that was crazy. It was, like, you know, it was 400 kids a class. It was just, it was a little city almost. But I liked it because it was diverse. I mean, we had everything from, you know, like, crazy gangs to, like, goth punk kids.
Yes.
And kids. You know, I was obviously, like, nerdy as fuck. So I just definitely was, you know, one of the theater kids, and but I got along with everybody, and then that kind of made me have high expectations from my university, where I thought I could, like, you know, really truly find myself the way you're supposed to. And unfortunately, when I went upstate, I realized I picked the wrong school, because I realized I was that experience for other people, and I was kind of studying with a bunch of more sheltered young adults.
Oh, that's
a shame. So, yeah, and you know, it happens. It was fine otherwise, but it definitely didn't meet my expectations or needs, and also educationally. Like, I was kind of treated like I was supposed to be a music education major when I really just wanted to focus on being an industry major and learn how to do jazz and learn how to, you know, do, like, move my body and sing at the same time and, like, really work out those training skills in order to succeed in a musical theater environment.
Yeah, and you need to be really diverse in musical theater, don't you?
Yeah, and it was tough because, I mean, nobody was really able to help me, and they tried, but, like, they just didn't know. Like, we just, you know, always fell back on, let's try this Italian aria or let's try this French song. And
yeah.
I mean, that was part of my training no matter what, everywhere. But I had already done all those things earlier in my life. And I now wanted to learn how to, like, make my voice grow and really find its style. And I think it's something that is now coming back to me so many years later, because now is when I'm getting opportunities to, you know, actually use these skills that I actually never really properly acquired. But Yeah, so I went to St. Rose for a little while, and then I switched, and I got my first burlesque gig. And I was going to, I lost my scholarship because I, you know, so badly wanted to leave my parents' house that I decided to get my own apartment, and I just decided to work four jobs, and I think that became a thing until Suicide Girls.
Yeah. Like, you've always been a hard worker, as long as I've known you.
It feels weird, though. It's like people, like, you know, will always see it that way, and I think that's, I mean, that's great for me, you know, like people are like, wow, you work so hard, but in reality, it was a lot of procrastination to be doing what I truly wanted to do. Why was I so afraid of taking a crappy position in a theater, or like really immersing myself fully in like the entertainment industry, instead of taking all these survival jobs and trying to perform all the time? Like, I was constantly behind a bar, constantly, you know, I managed a few retail shops, and like, I, no matter where I went, I definitely always ended up being a leader, and then that would make it harder to leave those survival jobs. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you kind of get trapped.
It's really tough. Like, I remember getting a really awesome modeling gig in New York, and like, I would go to the city most weekends,
yeah,
to do auditions or casting calls and things like that. And then when you actually are offered something, it's terrifying. You know, it's like, I finally got this awesome modeling gig. I surpassed this line of tall, lean, beautiful women, and I thought something must have been wrong. I'm being told to leave.
No.
And they were going to send me on all these calls that day, and they were like, well, we got to send you immediately to this guest audition.
Oh, wow.
And to this audition. And I was like, oh, I would, but I have to go open up a guest store, actually, up in
Albany. No, so you had to miss out?
Yes, yeah, so I would miss out on these awesome opportunities, which I don't recommend to anybody out there. Don't do that. Take the risk, you know, especially if you're young and, you know, and you don't have a family, and you don't, you know, like, I was in the position to, you know, put my hands up in the air and do whatever I wanted. And I just felt this, you know, very big obligation to stay true to the things that I'm such a monogamist, even when it comes to work.
So what you're saying is, just kind of, when you're in that position, just throw caution to the wind and do it, even if it might not be right by other people, it's right by yourself.
Yeah, and that's what's tough, is definitely exactly that, because, you know, I would definitely, you know, I'm the worst at making those decisions on my own, so of course I immediately would reach out to people.
Mm.
But the people in my life are the people I worked with as well, you know, they always have been, and I spent all of my time at work, no matter what point of my life I was in.
Yeah.
So those are the people that I've become the closest to, and you know, of course, like, people are going to be like, man, you, like, you know, you can't just, like, screw everyone over, you know, and disappear, and I never would. And
oh, you're too good, girl.
But it was tough, because, you know, now I definitely, like, I try to advise people otherwise. I'm like, hey, like, you know, there's certain things that you obviously don't give everything up for right on the spot, and you have to be cautious of. But then there's these moments that are so clear.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's just crazy to walk away from.
And your friends as well, I think, if a moment like that came and you spoke to your friends and they really were true friends to you, I think they would advise you to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I always had that support. And I was really lucky, especially where I was living at the time. Being up in Albany meant, you know, I had a more eclectic group of friends. Now I'm pretty much immersed in the industry, and I surround myself with a lot of creatives.
Damn right.
But there, like, it was definitely like, it was very, I was very present, and I was very, like, my group of friends was just so diverse. There was, you know, the girls I did burlesque with, they were a nurse and a teacher, and, businesses, and you know, they worked in corporate tax, they did a bunch of different things. So I was definitely surrounded by very much what everyone likes to call the real world, and when they don't want to accept that there's other opportunities out there. So because of that, I had a lot of support, where people just thought, yes, like, you need to be doing these things. Of course you can have today off to go to this audition, because I was the only person they knew that was hustling like that. I was in New York City. I would go to the city to do these auditions because it was so close by, but it wasn't like I was just another annoying waitress on the schedule in New York City or in LA who's trying to get the day off to go do another typical audition. Like,
yeah, you're slightly removed.
Yeah, everybody, you know, would just be like, oh my gosh, they always thought, like, this is the one.
Aw, that's so cute. That's so nice to have that support there. That means, like, it means the fucking world to you, especially when you're just starting out, right?
Yeah, and those people are still 100% there for me.
Oh,
you know?
So good of them. And they're in the bar you used to work in, right? In your bar in Albany?
Yeah, like, I mean, all over. I still keep in touch with people I worked with at Swarovski.
Wow.
That worked at that. That I worked with at all of my pubs and clubs. And obviously the girls that I danced with and, you know, when I did Burlesque.
Yeah. Tell me about those girls.
Oh my gosh. Those girls are like we're still in a group thread to this day. We're family.
I love them.
And they love you.
I can't wait to meet them. I always miss out Albany on the Burlesque tour. It sucks.
Oh, I know. It is a bummer. You never know. It can happen. But yeah, so I was going to St. Rose and I lost my scholarship actually because I decided to work all these million jobs. Mm. I failed Spanish class for God's sakes. It was like
oh my God.
Easy
what?
I know, and it's like college, you know, it's fucking expensive. Like I'm now basically working hours that are gonna be paying for the class that I failed. Like it was insane.
Crazy.
I didn't have my priorities straight. I went to college at 17. So when I got a job at a club and at a, you know, restaurant and at a store and I'm trying to finish my full-time classes, it didn't really work out. So I lost my scholarship. However, I was convinced that I was going to go right back. And everybody was. They were like, this isn't, you know, like when you feel like you're, you know, you got your Hogwarts acceptance letter when you leave for the university and you are given this opportunity to leave home and experience. Yeah. There's like this sense of freedom and dorming and all these things. It was really exciting. So it feels so strange when you realize that this is real life. And after just my first year to like have to sit first it was like after my first semester I realized like my scholarship wasn't going to cover everything.
Oh, shit.
So I was told, like, you know, like it was like my first real adult conversation where I sat with a counselor and they were like, yeah, so you can't really afford to finish school this year, so, you know, like you can just come back, like, you know, when you can. And, you know, I was like a kid, I didn't know what that meant.
That
I'm like,
sucks.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
you're telling me to pack up my things and go home? Like, I was in tears. I thought I left home for good.
Yeah.
So that's when I called up an aunt of mine, and she somehow helped fix all of it, and she co-signed some loans for me. So then I stayed for another 6 months. Totally screwed that up, because that's when I got so upset that I was like, I'm gonna be working a lot. So anywho, fast forward to the next year. I got my apartment in Albany, and I wasn't in school anymore, though, so I was just working a lot to keep that apartment up. And I was in this a cappella group because I was in every musical ensemble in school.
Amazing. A cappella. Love it.
Yeah, and this one was the fun one. The I did, like, math polls and, like all kinds. It was crazy.
Amazing.
I did this one. All this stuff. And then, but at night we would have fun, and it was like my life was it was pitch perfect. It was insane.
I love it.
Like, my at the time boys group, and I was in we were called the girls next door. So you know, I had a killer, like, a prayer solo. It was very exciting.
Amazing.
But I you know, I really didn't want to give up this part of me that, you know, that was academic and training and all these things. So, like, I would still compete with these groups and still kind of show up to rehearsals and pretend I was still in school. And it was,
aww.
And like the girls knew I wasn't, but, like, you know, they were like, we need you for this competition. Let's just not tell anybody that, you know, and it was crazy risky because they could have gotten disqualified for things. But
that's,
I remember,
so much they love you.
I know, it was a crazy time. And so I went to this other competition with them, and I remember we were on like our Girls Next Door t-shirts, and I was a little drunk, and I think I was a lot drunk, because I remember my roommate called me up and she was going to this burlesque show. I didn't even know what burlesque 100 like truly was. I was definitely obsessed with that era of neo burlesque being born and all that jazz, but I didn't 100% know about it. So I didn't know what that meant and what it entailed. And she went and she called me up, and she was drunk too. And she, hey girl, you, there's at the show, and they're like singing show tunes, but in their underwear, and they're holding auditions tomorrow. And like, this is just so you, like, you gotta come, you gotta audition. And I was like, man, girl, that'd be cool, but like, I'm gonna go see Rent tomorrow in New York City, and I'm already gonna be hungover in the morning. I don't think I'm making that. She's like, no, you have to go. And she pushed me to go to this thing, and I walked in, and I was the youngest one that showed up, and I definitely looked jailbaitish at the time. And I walked in, and I remember this girl was like doing this circus performer, was like lighting her tits on fire, I'd never seen anything like it. That. Like. And I was like, how is she doing that? they were like, hey, like, you know, we're having all these girls, like, you know, you can sing a song, or, you know, they wanted me to sing Big Spender, which is so funny that I didn't know that song at the time.
That's so funny.
Such a weird song not to know, too, especially like with the repertoire I was interested in at the time, that should have definitely been in my pocket. But it wasn't. I was still learning. And I was really insecure about it. They're like, it's really easy. We're going to teach it to you. I was like, well, I heard that you guys sang Black Velvet last night at your show, and I would like to sing that. And they were like, oh, they're kind of weird about it. And I was like, no. Like, I really wanted that. I'm comfortable with that song, so I'd rather do that. So these girls kept, like, taking their clothes off. So I went up, and I, like, just started singing Black Velvet and removing my top, and it was probably like super awkward.
Amazing.
My nipple pops out of my bra. And it's kind of funny because that's been a thing ever since that day.
Yeah, your nipple always escapes all the time.
I don't know. It was such a crazy time. So I did that audition, and I went to the city. I watched my favorite, you know, musical in life, and it was a really cool feeling to be walking through New York and get that callback. And I forgot, I did a dance callback with them, and all these girls were like there was an improv, like, you know, there was like 16 bars of like improvising or whatever. And so all these girls, they start being really sexy, and like they're on the floor and they're whipping their hair around. And, you know, I literally stopped and was like super awkward and just looked around. And then I just started doing the robot. And
no way.
I don't know what else to do right now. And so I thought, man, I fucked up this audition 100%. Like, there's no way they're going to call me back. And then all of a sudden I'm in New York City, and I'm walking through the streets thinking, man, I wish I could, you know, be performing full time. And then I get a call, and they're just like, hey, so, you know, that robot moment at auditions, yeah, that was really awesome, and that's very us. Like, you'd fit right in.
Amazing.
It'd be really cool if you could come back and do another one. And I was like, oh, what? It was like really mind blowing. And I learned later that those girls had really struggled with deciding if I should even be in the group, because I was so young and they were only taking girls 25 and over.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a whole different group that I joined at the time. I joined a group where I signed a contract saying I wouldn't get tattoos or piercings.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was crazy. So that was how I got into burlesque. And then after that, we did a lot more shows. And I think two shows into that, we wrote the Ariel number that I do for the tour today.
Yeah, The Little Mermaid. And everyone loves that one. I think that's my favorite one ever.
It's definitely a fun one. And I remember just you know, I'm glad that it got the life that it deserved. I wish Lusty could do it forever, though, because Lusty used to do it in our show. And she's kind of like, she was kind of like my burlesque mama, where she taught me all about, like, I wanted to be this girl so bad when we started working together, because she was our bombshell. She was the, you know, the sexiest girl I had ever seen on a stage. And I remember when I met her at auditions, she was like, all right, let's work on this routine. And she was wearing sweats, and she just took them all off, and she was just in her panties. And I was like, what? She's fucking off. And, you know, I wasn't used to any of that. So I really loved working with her. And then, you know, the best thing I've ever learned from her was just comedy. She's just, I've never seen anybody so sexy be so funny.
Amazing.
So really grateful for that.
What an amazing lady. It's so funny how there's always that one person that really kind of ignites that fire within you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very true. And I found out later on that, and I remember she was tough with me when we started, and I thought, man, like, you know, it's always hard to be the new person. And I found out later on that she actually fought really hard for me to be in that group.
Really?
You know,
that's so great. Young.
She was the one that, you know, and me and you have had this conversation in the past where it's like, you know, sometimes women can, you know, there's this competitiveness that doesn't allow them to let they don't allow each other to shine sometimes.
Absolutely. It's a shame.
It's really unfortunate. And it's crazy because in reality, we're all in it. We're here for each other. So you're ruining a relationship and a connection with somebody by limiting them. You're limiting yourself and your future, and you know, you never know what that could become of that person and your connection with them.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of, people act so quickly and harshly, and I was really grateful that all those girls had my best interests in mind when I auditioned, whether it was you're too young, you're not ready, or no, you're really talented, like, we need you here. And that's what I liked about that group of women. They were the first most supportive group I've ever worked with.
That's so amazing. And you got that feeling, like, straight away, you knew straight away, these girls have got my back.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like, a lot of it took time to learn, too, because, you know, like, it was one of those things, like, some of those things were unspoken, and it was just, you know, we just worked, and then like a year would go by, and I'd be like, you know, like, this girl fought for you to be in the group, and you'd learn something that you didn't know before. And that was another really awesome thing. People weren't all about taking credit for things. It was like, they just did things for the right reasons, and it was a rare, you know, experience to have. I've definitely experienced different things since then, which is unfortunate, but it also, I'm grateful for it because it lets me weed through all the bullshit these days. And I know that good people exist, which is why I'm so lucky I found you.
Yay.
You know, like, I definitely wouldn't be doing the shows that we do today if I didn't feel that support from, you know, some of the women that we work with. So I'm just grateful that I had that experience early on, and now not only able to like pass that on, but also like I can tell like what, you know, a selfless, like hardworking, you know, girl is when I see one, you know.
Completely. Like, yeah, and it shines through as well whenever I see the girls perform any of the numbers in the Blackout Burlesque. It shines through so much that they do love each other. Like, it's quite obvious when people are trying to outshine each other, and when they really are just working with each other for each other. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yep, it's very, very true.
I love it. So these girls, and they were tough on you in their best interest. So I'd say to anyone who's wanting to get into performing, or anyone who wants to join a troupe like that, would you say that there may be bullshit and stuff like that, but stick with it, it's worth it, because they may not show it at first, but they have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that's, you know, those things are really clear. So you have to like know what your goals are as well. So if you're trying to be a better performer and people are being tough with you and you're at rehearsal, then you should milk all of those moments and stop feeling so insecure and so righteous. And you should, you know, give up the pride and learn how to listen and accept new things, especially when you're new or you're young. You should never feel like you're any better than anybody to this day. Like, I, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm the oldest, or I've been doing this the longest. And it's like, actually, I learn something new from all these babes every day.
Every day.
You know, you don't always know everything, and you're an ever-evolving human being, and you're going to be that way for the rest of your life. So I think giving up your pride allows you to tell the difference between information that will benefit you and noticing those that are on your side professionally or personally, and also remembering that not everybody has to be personally acquainted with you, and accepting that some relationships are strictly professional. And then, you know, obviously, like, you can tell, like, when you're, if you're in a situation where you're not happy, or you're in a troop where those things are going on, or it's a toxic environment, then you, I think you can tell those things right away.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching this video about ambivalent relationships that was, you know, talking about just bringing up that topic alone. Like, if you are losing sleep and your anxiety is killing you because you're so confused about how people in your workplace or your personal life feel about you, then something's wrong on some level. Like,
definitely, yeah.
You know, it's like you have to either confront it, or, you know, sometimes, like, toxic people in our lives that are, like, really terrible, they're so obvious. They're right in front of you. You know to avoid them. You know you're not into it. It's actually an easy, healthy thing to walk away from.
Completely.
And relationships are a lot harder to understand. You know, that's when those are the people that every day you're like, does that person really like me? Am I really happy? Exactly. And then you'll go crazy and you'll never get anything done.
Nope.
So you have to kind of, like, step away from those relationships, and, you know, to feel a little healthier, you know.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it happens even in, I think, a lot of people, they assume burlesque and all other performing arts, we're obviously very happy on stage, we put on face on stage, but these things do happen behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, and that's every work environment, which is another thing I remind people all the time.
I'm
like, you know, whenever I have anybody come to me and complain about something minor, which is okay. That's, you know, that's what we're here for as friends. Like,
of course.
You know, you gotta speak up. You gotta express how you're feeling. You can't hide it. But it's crazy because, you know, in any performance group I've ever been in, or any job, there's always somebody who feels so victimized, and they victimize themselves in every situation. And I just want to shake them and be like, okay, well, you really have to take yourself out of it and go, hey, so is this a me pattern, or is something wrong? Because no matter where you are, no matter where you work, there's always, you're not gonna like every single person. Not every single person is gonna be easy to work with. Life just isn't easy. End of story. So
good advice, girl.
Yeah, you just have to decide, like, how important it is to you. If it's a little gig that you're like, oh my god, this is too stressful and it's taking up a lot of my creative energy and potential, then yeah, that's one thing. But if it's something you're learning from, and you have like one thing or person or whatever it is, or maybe they're not running things the way you think that and you think you know the right answer to everything, like, maybe that's when you need to start looking in the mirror a little bit more and realize you might be projecting something. And you also need to remember that, hey, there's always going to be that boss, or there's always going to be that coworker. And it's not, it doesn't matter if you're here or in this awesome opportunity, or in this crappy opportunity, or in, if I'm working at Swarovski, or I'm working behind a bar, or I'm in a musical of my dreams, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some gay choreographer that knows way more than me and is not shy to let me know. And I'm going to so embarrassed and victimized every day when we get no. But, you know, those are things you have to prepare yourself for when you're gonna enter any kind of performance.
Absolutely. Yeah, getting tough skin is something you gotta do, and really looking at yourself in the mirror. I guess fucking great advice, girl.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to burlesque though, one thing I do recommend is, you know, to do it for yourself. So like any women out there that like are interested in getting into burlesque, I'm obviously speaking more about people that want to, you know, pursue it career-wise, but I think that there's an entire community of women out there who keep burlesque. The women that keep burlesque alive the most are honestly those that do it in the locally, like weekly or monthly.
Absolutely.
And alive, and they do it as an outlet for themselves, and they do it for all the right reasons. And when it comes to those troops, then you can definitely be picky about that. Then you can be like, because then that's your outlet. So
completely, it's got to be good for you, yeah.
You know, all those situations that in your everyday work life, then of course you can like be like, okay, I'm only going to do this if I'm into everyone that is in it and all that stuff. Because I do think those things are important. Like your outlet should be your outlet.
Completely. Completely, girl. You spoke a second ago. Obviously, the local burlesque troops, they are our heroes. You have to support your local girl gang. We fucking love them. We've all been in one. And if you haven't, it's a great place to go. It's a great place to start. But you spoke about being...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Or possibly working with big shows like musicals and stuff like that. Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, I did a lot of musical theater when I was in New York, and I did I never got lucky enough to do like anything like on Broadway, but off Broadway, and I did like a couple workshops, and I also did my favorite moment ever on stage is when I got to do a couple runs of Rent. I did it with two different companies, actually.
Amazing.
But a lot of the same cast, because we just got like bought out by another company. And it was really cool, because that was one of my favorite moments. I think it was the last musical I did, which is so sad. Yeah. I think that's why I remember it so vividly to this day. But it was when I finally got a lead in a big show, and it's just a show that means a lot to me. So that was cool, because I ended up having a review written, and I couldn't believe how many nice things this person had to say about me. And now that person is a good friend of mine, which is funny. But so my friend David Malinkowski, he writes for this newspaper in New York, and he wrote a review about it. I didn't realize that he was this Woodstock-based guitar player who tours with the original cast of Rent.
No way.
Yeah, now that all those guys are doing like their own thing and doing their own tours, he was touring with a couple of the guys. So he got the guys to come to Albany and do a show for us.
Amazing.
And I got a bunch of really cool things to do. I got like a bunch of awesome opportunities to meet some of like the sweetest, most talented people after that. Like I went to like Village Voice Awards, and I met Lin-Manuel Miranda right before auditioning for In the Heights and getting called back for that, which was crazy. Another dream musical of mine, which is regarding like, you know, my neighborhood that I grew up in.
So cool.
Which actually I recently met Mandy Gonzalez, who starred in that original cast with Lin-Manuel when he first erupted. And I went to go see Hamilton.
No way.
I went with Scott. So I went with Scott Bradley to New York, and Which trip was that? I think that was the same trip he had a show. Yeah, he had a show with Postmodern Jukebox, and we went the day after, I believe it was, and we went to go see Hamilton, and it was amazing, of course. And
you'd recommend it to everyone, obviously.
Oh my God, of course. I knew it would be amazing. I honestly, it was kind of weird that I wasn't shocked by it, because I think because I'm such an early Lin-Manuel Miranda fan that I already knew what it was going to look like. I knew what it was going to be. I already knew this, all the songs. So I was like, it was just really awesome to see it like thriving, you know? And
I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait for you to see it. It's so badass. And, the show ended and like, you know, Scott doesn't usually do things like that. Like, sitting through a whole musical, I was like shocked. That was really nice, and I just thought, like, we got to get him out of here. We got to get some food or something. I was like, wow, that was awesome. Let's go get some food. And he's like, we have to wait. And I was like, what do you mean? And Mandy Gonzalez was meeting us on the stage, giving us a tour.
No.
And just hanging out with us and took us out for drinks afterwards and food. And she did a video with them, actually. But, yeah, she's awesome. So I actually it's so funny because she's one of my heroes, of Latina course. Heroes. And
I love her. That's so amazing to hear a woman in a high up position.
Yeah, and not just that, but she was so, like, I mean, this woman is super fearless. And actually, that's hilarious that I just said that, because Fearless is her new album that just came out.
Amazing. I love her already.
I do get insecure about that. You know, I wonder, is there any chance that I could ever even pursue anything like that again after being so incredibly naked in the world all the time? And of course, when other girls come to me and ask advice about it, I tell them they can do anything they want. You know, we live in a whole different world now. But with that being said, of course, I sometimes go, there's no way. Like, the way they cast people for those things, like, the background check is so intense, and there's no way they would be on a stage.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Well, that's what I think, and then I sit there with somebody like Mandy, and she's like, and it was just really cute of her to say this. She's like, you should audition for Hamilton, but, I mean, you're so busy. You're doing so many awesome things with your burlesque and stuff. Like, I totally understand if you don't have time, and I'm like, girl, are you crazy?
Oh, girl, I would go there any day.
Don't you dare talk to me like that. That was like really, but it was so empowering to have her say something like that, like, you know, just, you know, not really knowing me that well, and just kind of reminding me that, hey, you know, like, if this is what you're interested in, like, you'd be perfect for it. Why don't you do that? And
that's such a feeling.
And asking, you know, about coming to see a show, and I get that a lot from like some really talented women I meet. And it's really cool that they actually really respect and admire what we do and are so into kind of like putting down the, you know, the kids or the job or what they are doing for the night, and just be like, actually, I really want to go see like women like enjoy their bodies.
Yes. And be themselves. Fuck yes. I'm so into this.
But the world of Broadway, like, definitely, like, it's something that I miss and I love. But now I'm trying to find a way to kind of bring it back into my life and immerse it with, you know, who I clearly am, you know?
Definitely, girl. But you know what? I remember you speaking. You've told me one time that you haven't always been doing musical theater or burlesque, etc. You went into politics once, didn't you?
Yeah, and actually, that's right after I did Rent. I got cast in Hairspray, and I was one of the Dynamites, and I was
so cool.
Very excited. I mean, I was like, I get to live my Diva Supreme's life. And so I mean, in that era, it makes me so happy. Like, it's just the music of the 50s and the 60s. It's just something that is, that's definitely my thing. And everyone who knows me knows that that's my playlist. but I went in, and I remember starting rehearsals, and my voice was just like not having it, and it was really weird. And I don't know, I just thought, you know, I was sick or something. And then, you know, a couple more weeks go by, and I mean, it was getting to the point where it was like we were 3 weeks into rehearsals and I wasn't able to hit any of my notes, and my voice was super hoarse. I ended up going to nobody was concerned. That part was practically handed to me for change. That never happens.
Amazing.
But it was because the director had seen me do Rent, and they were like, oh, we'd really like to have you, you know, in this show. So when I came to them concerned and was like embarrassed and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I don't know what's going on, like, they were like, oh my God, we know your voice, it's okay, you're gonna be fine, it's, you know, we're not worried about it, like, just keep memorizing the harmonies. I'm like, all right. Which was so frustrating, because there's nothing more frustrating than memorizing a singing part that you haven't been able to actually sing out loud.
Of course, that's like your life. Yeah.
You know, and like, not like, everyone's like, practice it, and you're like, I can't move, but I will keep watching. So it was really frustrating, and I ended up going to an ENT, finding out that I had nodes, and I had completely strained and injured my vocal cords during my two. Mostly due to, you know, being, you know, directed by somebody who wasn't forgiving about, you know, going full out every day and didn't understand what it meant to rest. And, you know, I thought I was getting this hardcore training, but in reality I was being injured. So, repeatedly. And it's, to this day, has affected my voice, you know, like, I have to be careful. So my range isn't what it used to be. I'd no longer sing Italian arias or anything like that.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it really blows. And, you know, I was kind of a baby about it for a long time. Like, I mean, I wasn't singing. All this stuff happened. But, you know, over the years, friends finally shook me and were like, hey, did you ever think about starting to sing new songs? Because, like, I was so sad that I couldn't do, like, my favorite audition tunes anymore, or my favorite covers, or sing my favorite songs. They were like, well, time to start thinking about new stuff, you know? Like,
yeah.
To adapt to this new voice. And so, yeah, that's been my life, actually, the last 5 years. It's getting used to my new voice.
Oh, wow, girl.
So after that, I actually had been called in to do a I had done this – that's, I remember when there was – when Haiti had that entire – like tsunami and all this other stuff happened.
Terrible.
It was awful. So we did, I was going back to school, actually, when I did Rent. I went back again. I found another university that, where I ended up getting this full scholarship after 1 year there.
Amazing. Well done.
Yeah, I was really happy. I just, you know, there's so many scholarships out there. I hate to sound like a, you know, like a PBS special, but I'm like, kids, apply for the damn scholarships, because there's so many out there. You could get a scholarship for having blue eyes. My scholarship is about my life story, actually, which is really funny.
Love
that
it.
We're talking about it. But, you know, and it was just about, like, the hustle and the bustle. And I was a non-traditional student, so I, you know, was going to school with people that were younger than me. But I was really focused about what I wanted now. And I wasn't going to fuck it up this time. So I did this Haiti fundraiser. I was president of our, like, Black and Latino club or something.
Amazing. And well done, girl. That's so fucking cool.
So there's so many random things that we did. I can't remember my whole life. It's so nuts. But we did that, and then through that club I got to also do organize this thing that we did in Albany and in Troy. Or actually, no, it was Schenectady. And we got together a bunch of, like, inner city school, like, junior high school girls, and we gave them, like, the fanciest day they've ever had.
Amazing.
And these girls come from, like, the, you know, the poorest town in the capital region, and they like witnessed a very violent climate every day.
That's so sad.
We, you know, and it was tough because, like, they're sassy, and, like, the whole point of the workshop is to talk about how women can support one another and, like, just put a stop to, like, the gossiping and the fighting over boys and support each other and, like, how to learn how to mediate, you know, problems and things like that. So that being part of that planning board got me an award, and I got like this recognition in the town, which was nuts. Like, I did not expect that. Like, it was like they award 3 Latinos a year.
Wow.
And usually politicians but there's usually a rising star award for a younger Latino or Latina in the community who's making a change. So I got that award.
Well done, which then, mate. That's fucking amazing.
It was a crazy time. I was like, I thought my whole life was going to be different because I was like, I'm never showing my boobies again. So I, after that, I got recommended to do an internship. I guess, which is crazy because SUNY is full of Latinas. So I don't know what happened, but I got this call from this advisor that met me through both of those things and was like, hey, I'm kind of screwed right now. I was called and asked to fill this position at the New York State Assembly and Senate for the summer. And they're looking for a Latina up and coming in the community who, we think could do, you know, we're trying to teach more Latinas about politics because there's not enough female Latina politicians.
Damn right.
And so we're trying to bring awareness to that. And therefore, we're just trying to get more Latina women interested and realize that this is a possible career choice for them. With that being said, are you interested in coming in and just doing this internship? And I was like, absolutely. Like, you know, I wanted to do something other than bartend all summer, and I wasn't doing as many burlesque shows at the moment. So notice how I said as many, I never stopped. So I went and I did the internship, and it was for the New York State Puerto Rican and Hispanic Task Force. And it was a great experience. I worked under Assemblyman Felix Ortiz, and it was during a time of, you know, when, you know, sorry, my mind is a mess. It was the equal marriage like bill passed.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a crazy exciting time, and it was a really interesting experience because I couldn't believe the meetings I was sitting in on and, you know, writing press releases about. And it was the task force, essentially what it did was we gathered all of the assemblymen, assemblywomen and senators of New York who were specifically Latinos. And then what we did was we talked to them about what the Latino concerns were in the state at the time and brought in people that, I mean, the things I was hearing were crazy. Like, yeah. It was, a woman came in and it was like I was watching politicians learn things for the first time that were like extremely shocking. Like the fact that people were just being taken off the streets illegally because maybe they looked Mexican and didn't have an ID on them. Damn. And that going missing for weeks and that our officers were doing things that weren't exactly legal. And at the same time, it was just because our legislation wasn't clear enough, which is why legislation is ever evolving and people need to vote.
It's still a problem now.
And that's why, you know, and actually that's another reason why I got that job was because I had been doing a lot of advocacy for education. So they were like, you seem like you'd want to fight for something.
Absolutely. Like, damn, girl. Like,
piss me off about something, I'm gonna want to fight for it.
Like, you're a fire lady.
So it was kind of sad and crazy to, like, you know, witness those things, but it felt really empowering to realize that that's all it takes, you know, like you have to speak up. And it made me very aware and it motivated me to make my friends and family aware and the entire population about speaking up about anything, you know. And like, and nowadays, like, yeah, like you can advocate through your phone and you can tweet this and retweet that. And yeah, it helps to share things, but at the same time, like you need to be active and people aren't active enough these days. It's too easy to use Twitter rather than, you know, be like, even what you're doing is so active. Like you speak about a lot of important topics, but you're actively doing it and you're actually starting a conversation. And that's what I love about this podcast.
That's what I'm doing here. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and that's what's active, you know, that's taking a step forward rather than retweeting something or, you know, I'm so glad you're doing this because you're somebody, every time we speak, I always feel like you should have a megaphone to the world, you know, so glad that that's kind of what's happening now, you know.
Thanks, girl. Yeah, I try, honestly, and that's what we're saying. It's hard to get started as well, I suppose. That's why I started doing the podcast because I want to lay it out to people. I want to give people advice, so... If you were to, I don't know, if you were to give someone a direction to head in to start opening their mind up with this kind of thing, where would you point them?
Wait, say that one more time. Sorry, that was muffled for some reason.
So, sorry, I am literally thousands of miles across the Atlantic from you. So if, obviously now we're talking about all this and it is hard to, for some people to understand these things. So where, if somebody wanted to open their mind or begin to open their mind, where would you point them?
Oh, well, that's the thing. Like it's nowadays, it's hard to know where to look because, you know, everything's about alternative facts and there's so many opinions out there, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think in general, like you just need to start listening all around. And stop listening to one opinion and stop listening to one news station, you know, those things can become very biased. I think there's just so much information out there. How can you even decide how you feel or what your beliefs are if you're constantly just getting information from one source? So to me, there's not even a right place to get more information or like become more aware or teach yourself more about these things. I think like you just have to be really open about it. And that means looking at and also speaking to people in person. Like that's another thing. Like start those conversations.
Yeah.
Start those conversations with the people you don't agree with too. You know, there's so people like only want to talk with the person that makes them, you know, makes them feel correct. So it's so easy if I'm upset, like even just with personal things, if I'm upset with this person and both me and you know them, but you know, I feel like me and you totally get each other. So I'm going to call you up and rant to you about all these things. And then I'm only going to hear what I want to hear, you know, as opposed to actually approaching the person or maybe even someone who doesn't always make me feel totally right or, you know, liked or whatever. And kind of just trying to hear other opinions. I think like that's the thing about politics. That's hard. The conversation kind of has always ended like on a news station that's super biased. And there's so much more information out in the world, which actually your news is way more worldly. So I envy that.
You know? It is in a way, but I'm guilty of it as well. I think when we had the last general election here in the UK, I was absolutely convinced that the party I'm a member of, the Labour Party, which is the left-wing party, I was convinced they were going to win. But that's because I only would listen to left-wing people. I would only view left-wing news. I would only follow left-wing Facebook pages. So I totally missed out on the other side. And boy, was I wrong.
Yep. And I mean, it's crazy that we both went through that at such a similar time. It's insane. But that's what happens, you know? So... Mm. Now we all got a big wake up call this, you know, these last few years for sure.
Oh my girl, you know, we got to stick together, got to stick to our girl gangs. And speaking of girl gangs, current day, the Black Art Burlesque, that's what you're doing now, isn't it? That's your work now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I love it. Actually, after I left the Assembly and Senate, I actually started working for a lobbying firm. Oh. And I ended up, you know, managing that office for a while and almost like started thinking about becoming like this legal assistant that would essentially like want to study to be partner someday. I almost went back to school for political science, which is crazy.
Such a different course. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just got to a point where I kind of faced a lot of the same obstacles that I faced, you know, in any other, you know, anything else. So that's kind of what made me kind of fearless to go into what I actually wanted to do. I just, you know, I did deal with sexism and things like that, not from my like bosses directly or anything like that. I worked for an awesome dude who like was the first Latino lobbyist.
Amazing. Well done. Fuck yes.
New York. Like, you know, I was super excited to work for this guy, and I learned a lot from him. He was amazing. And I worked with some other really, you know, amazing men in that industry. And what was sad about it was that I really want to learn more about the women that were like senators and all these things. And I wanted to, you know, so I was just getting to that point of like, you know, getting to know all the women that worked for the Senate. And then it was just a crazy situation where, you know, my oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm putting this out into the public. It's so crazy. It's true. And it's sad, and it's because I just want to let women know that, like, they don't have to do this to each other, and they certainly don't have to deal with it. But I, you know, when I left the Assembly and Senate, it was like, I couldn't be an attractive woman working anywhere. When I was there, some dude, I think he liked me and didn't want me to know that. So some other dude inappropriately dropped off flowers at my desk.
What?
And yeah, like extremely fucking rude.
It
and
work. That's a work environment.
A work environment. Like, so, and the worst thing is that people take it out on you. You know, exactly. I was treated like it was just such a misogynistic fucking situation. And, you know, I had this guy like get really upset about it and reprimand me. And I remember, and I quote him saying, "You fuck whoever you want. Just don't bring it to the office."
Oh my God. And shut up.
So appalled. But it was fine because I ended up getting an awesome opportunity at the lobbying firm. And I was like, I'm going to be treated really well here. And then it was so funny because my boss's wife was just super, you know, just untrusting of him. And like,
it's a shame.
And it came from a very insecure place because I spent every hour that she didn't with him, which is of course why she felt that way. But I watched what he did, and it was sad, you know, because, you know, he would be just working all day with these other guys, and like, you could tell they were like the kind of guys that like were just trying to find more and more work to do because they're just so afraid of going home and being like a cubby and dad and like all these things. And they're golfing or drinking and like, and just or working, and then ended up working late and all this stuff. And they were just dudes, man, you know. And they were like, even though they were screwing up like these little things, they were good guys who like were like real, like loved their wives, loved their daughters. Just, you know, sometimes men don't know exactly how
they need
to
be educated too, right? Men need feminism as well.
So true. So like, you know, like I remember being a group of all of the administrative assistants, and we'd be like, we got to get, you know, did you get him home? Yeah, I'm making sure this one gets home because this is crazy.
You guys are too good.
You know, and we would be looking out for like the families and stuff, and they, oh my God, they loved their families so much. And I remember one day this woman just kind of pulled up behind us, like while I'm getting my girlfriend dinner,
Yeah.
Like I pulled up to a sushi place, and after we had a long meeting and we talked about me becoming partner and all this stuff, and it was an exciting day.
Amazing.
And I went to pick up food for her because she was sick or something. And I was telling my boss he needed to go home, and I was putting him in his car with his driver at the time to get home to dinner. And his wife pulls up behind us and rolls down the window, and like their child is in the back seat, and she's like, "Hey, look, this is what your dad prefers to do on a Friday night."
No, come on, girl.
I know, it's so, and you know, I felt so bad for her because, you know, some women like really do drive themselves to that point of crazy too. Like, and it's because maybe, you know, your husband sucks at communication. He probably doesn't realize that you need more than "I'm just working" or whatever the case may be. So clearly they had their own issues and communication breakdowns and things like that.
But taking out another woman won't help. You need to.
Yeah,
it was husband.
It was pretty awful. She wanted me out after that, and I think she was dangling like his kid in his face, and it was really upsetting and messed up. And I, you know, he was like, "I'm gonna have to pay you to like leave this firm," which is insane.
Wow.
And I was really upset, and I definitely made sure like that was a public thing, and I wanted other women to understand that, hey, this is why I left, and it has nothing to do with anything other than another woman like completely disempowered me from an amazing opportunity because of you know, whatever's going on at home with her relationship. And it, I felt so devastated because I actually thought like I was worth this new life. And you know what? Fuck it. It was an awesome wake-up call. I realized from then on I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I wanted to go back to empowering women in whatever way I could.
Definitely.
And, you know, I would never look back, you know? I don't speak ill of any of those people. I just felt like they were, whatever they were going through, like really fogged their judgment.
Completely, yeah. And why didn't she just sit down and have a conversation with you? You could have told her what's up.
Yeah, and I actually really wanted to do that. But at that point, I was like, I was really thankful, you know, like I was like, if I would have done that, I would have just done that for her, really, you know?
Yeah.
I was at a point of just being like, you know what, this isn't my business. And I was recommended to a million other jobs. I actually was going to work for the Senate directly after that.
Wow.
I did not want to do it.
No.
Going on these interviews and I just thought I'm not happy anymore. Like I was excited about working for like these Latino firms and like things that mattered in my community and working on the Latino Commission on AIDS accounts and things like that, but this was a little different. And it's kind of funny because that day that all that happened, the real reason my boss didn't want to go home and talking all night was because he had just gone to this Latino Commission on AIDS meeting that I was supposed to go on. And it's Rosario Dawson is the president of that. And she's fucking amazing and badass, like, and very, very immersed in politics. And she is really close to him. And they're like, so of course he's always like so googly eyed over like this, like, celebrity of a woman.
Amazing.
He's like, oh my god, Rosario Dawson was so awesome last night, and she kept telling me about all the stuff from the meeting and listing all the new ideas, and he was just so excited about all the new things that they were going to be working on, and that's really why he was running late. And it's just funny how things work out full circle at some point, because then, you know, fast forward a year later, I end up, you know, doing the Suicide Girls Black Heart Burlesque.
Wow.
Working this city event at Comic-Con and meeting Rosario Dawson and going, hey, you know Alfredo Vidal?
No way. You saw him or her?
Yeah, her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got like, you know, we got chatting about like all that stuff, and it's just so funny now.
Oh my god, that's so amazing. What did she think? She saw the show?
No. She didn't see the show. We were working a Sin City premiere for her movie.
Amazing.
So, you know, they used the Suicide Girls as to promote during that, which was really, really cool. We were so excited.
That's so cool. I love how that comes in a complete circle.
Yeah.
Everything links up in your life.
Yeah, it's so nuts. But yeah, like, you know, and I mean, and like you said, you know, I ended up doing Suicide Girls, and we talk about that story all the time. Like within that year, like I went back full time burlesque. Started teaching burlesque classes. My girls and I had a really sweet, awesome, successful burlesque school at the time that was called the Diamond Street Dames, after the Diamond Street in Hudson, New York. And we started doing all these like super female empowering classes, and women started coming to our classes in yoga pants because they thought it was a workout class. And by the end, like panties, and
yes,
they needed that day of the week for themselves because they never did that for themselves. And we started off the class saying, hey, if you want to be part of like this, you know, end of the course show, you know, you're welcome to, but if not, like, it's cool. And of course, like, most of them weren't into that. They were here for personal reasons.
Yeah.
By the end of it, everyone wanted to be in the show.
Really?
Huge production. We made calendars of the girls. We did photo workshops with Katie, who you met, of YTK Photography. Mm. And I remember that last week of rehearsals, we were getting ready for a holiday show. And I said, oh, you know, if anybody wants to come with me, because I want to give you guys the opportunity to experience these things in person as well, I'm going to go see the Black Heart Burlesque perform in New York this weekend, or whatever it was.
Ah.
I could go, but I got tickets for all of my friends in the city to come to the show. and I forced everyone to go, and like I forced them. I was like, okay, so you're committing to this, right? Because like I'm buying these tickets, and like you're like it's not, I'm not wasting this. And we got together and we went to the show, and a week before that we had gone to a show at God, what's the name of that place? It's gonna kill me. I'll think of it later, but there's my favorite little, I don't know why I can't think of the name right now. It's so weird. My favorite little burlesque bar in New York. And I had gotten on stage and taken my top off or something. So like I fast forward another week and we're at another burlesque show, but this one's bigger and awesome. And you know, Rebecca Crowe is starring in it.
Yeah.
And you know, I had seen all these girls on Showtime and I loved SG for so many years. And it was honestly kind of mind-blowing to just see it in person for the first time. Like, this is, you guys had always felt so, I mean, it's just like anything else for me. You guys are my celebrities. Like, I had never met one of you guys in person.
Oh,
and
no. It's
really cool to like see these girls up close and see how like crazy beautiful they are up close and talented. And and then, you know, you took advantage of my drunk booty and got me.
I absolutely fucking did. That was so much of a fun tour. And you know what? The New York date, the show there will always stay with me. Like, we did so many dates. We did, I think it was 10 weeks. But yeah, New York will stay with me forever because of you. And everyone always talked about you. The crazy drunk bitch.
That was such a crazy, like, oh my God, I have that video too. And it's so nuts because, yeah, I was just having fun and, my friends were there and I was like being silly for them, really. And I was like, this crowd, I mean, it was not about the crowd at all. Like, they were going to be so unimpressed because they had just watched all these awesome girls dance. And then after the show, people were coming up to me at Coachcheck and they're like, oh my God, thank you for getting naked. And I was like, I had never heard that before. Like, super forward. And like, and then I realized, like, after doing so many shows with you guys, why people say that, you know, it's not some pervy comment.
It's empowering, isn't it? Yeah, it's about being so body confident and all that.
Yeah, people, like, you know, the women identify with, there's so many different women in the show that nobody's the same and no woman is the same as any other woman. So it's kind of cool for women to also kind of find someone to connect with on stage and go, well, I have that same butt and I never appreciated it before, and like suddenly, like, now I don't mind it as much. And men, the same thing, they're so grateful to see, like, men are actually into real women, believe it or not, society.
I know,
like,
right, exactly.
And I know that for a fact because I see it every day. And they're not into the photoshopped version of you, they're not into the girl on the cover of the magazine. Yeah, at some level, but like in reality, like, that's not what true beauty is, and that's definitely not what anyone's looking for, and that shouldn't be what anybody's looking to be. So I was really, really grateful to like experience that repeatedly after that one night.
It's so good, isn't it? Like, every single time I do a show or host a show, and the women I meet before, afterwards, even the men I meet, just it leaves me with such a good feeling. I don't think I've ever come away from a show feeling sad or negative.
Yeah,
it's so great. Oh, I'm so glad I fucking met you, girl. We've actually had a time now, but good God.
I'm so grateful to have you in my life.
I've got to see you sometime soon. Are you going to sing me a song? Sing me a song, Sunny.
For good times and boobies. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, girl, thank you so much. Talking to you has been a fucking blast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. You really, you know, you educate people daily, and I love that about you. And sometimes it'll just be you could be hammered just talking about anything real in life or just being yourself. I love that you are such an awesome leader in our community over there, because I couldn't see it any other way. Like, it needs to be, you're my spirit animal. I love you.
Oh, girl, you're making me blush. You really are my transatlantic doppelganger, I guess. Not physically, but definitely in the brain. I love it. Sunny, so obviously you have a big social media presence. Where can we find you online?
Anywhere you look, all you have to do is look up Miss Sunny Holiday. So it's MISS S-U-N-N-Y Holiday.
Fabulous.
I think on Twitter there's one S missing, but you'll find it. Just look up Miss Sunny Holiday.
You'll know when you see her, absolutely. And have you got any shows coming up or anything soon?
At the moment, I'm like, actually, what do I have coming up? We have Comic-Con coming up.
Ooh.
So if you're going to go to the San Diego Comic-Con, that's a really good one to catch. So we'll be doing that very soon. I think that's about it. I think there's a Feathers and Foreplay show the end of next month as well. And I think that's about it right now. Oh, and I forgot, Anime Burlesque. When is that? That will be, if I can look up Mr. Kent Caliber's message to me, July 7th at Club Bar Sinister. I'll be doing a little Cowboy Bebop for all the kids out there. You know?
Oh my God, that sounds so nerdy and so amazing. I love how nerdy you are. You're so good. Anyway, Sunny, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for sharing your story. I know a lot of girls out there are going to relate to you, and they're really going to feel so fucking happy to just listen to your gorgeous voice and also learn all about you. Thank you.
Thank you. This was so fun. I appreciate it.
All right, Queen. Take care of yourself, yeah? Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.